Several months ago, Georgia passed a law related to abortion. And since a lot of Hollywood movies and television programs are being made in the Peach State, there were a lot of Hollywood producers and companies that said, oh, let's boycott Georgia. We don't want to deal with this. Well, we're going to talk right now with Ricardo Davis, who is the president of the Georgia Right to Life. Their website is grtl.org on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Ricardo, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
Sure. And by the way, the hubbub about that law has kind of died down. What happened?
Well, essentially, as most of these types of laws run into, is it was immediately challenged in court, and it's actually working its way through the federal district court right now.
Oh, okay. So in fact, as I recall, some of those statements like Netflix, Disney coming out against this law, they said something like, well, if this does become the law, then we will pull out. So for now, the production companies are still working and movies and TV programs are still being shot in Georgia, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. So the law itself related to heartbeats of the little unborn babies. Tell us about the law.
Okay, the Life Act, which was known as House Bill 481, is really an omnibus bill. It primarily did two things. Number one, in its recitations, essentially recognized, or the legislature recognized, various aspects of the personhood of the preborn child. Then the bill, as it's most famously known, it actually modified the abortion statutes in Georgia such that if a heartbeat is detectable, then at that point the abortion is prohibited under most circumstances. And it's that little asterisk that is part of the problem why principal pro-lifers had problems with the bill.
Oh, so even some people in the pro-life community felt that the bill was inadequate or something?
That is correct. The original bill, as it was authored by State Representative Ed Setzler, had Georgia Right to Life support. However, when that bill was introduced in committee, a substitute was submitted, which essentially, from our standpoint, was a poisoned bill.
Wow.
Example, the bill and the law, as it stands now, for the first time introduced a blanket availability of abortions for rape and incest. Whereas before, Georgia law, and in particular Georgia Right to Life, has been fighting for decades to keep from adding that particular common trope into Georgia law. So as of currently, as the law stands, if a woman can claim that she conceived a child through rape or incest, it doesn't matter whether or not the baby has a heartbeat that's detectable or not, she can abort the child.
I see. You know, it's funny. This is how abortion got accepted in America in the first place. The claim was made by Jane Roe that she had been raped. They even said, quote, supposedly she was gang raped. It turns out that was not true. Later, she became pro-life, thank God, and she detested Roe v. Wade and tried to get it overturned, but it was too late. But it was accepted because of rape and incest.
Well, and if you look at the progression of, I'll say, the pro-abortion pushback, because abortion on demand had pretty much been outlawed in the United States in the 19th going into the early 20th century. And in the mid-20th century, if I remember correctly, this began in Mississippi, where adding the ability to obtain an abortion for rape and incest was added. In Mississippi's case, it was made strictly on racial grounds. As those bills...
Okay, what does that mean? Spell that out. You mean blacks could do that, or blacks couldn't do it, or what?
Well, essentially the argument that was being made by the legislators is if a white woman got pregnant by a black man, then she should have the ability to have an abortion.
Wow. Okay, so then...
Under the circumstances of forcible rape, then they would allow that.
I see. So that had racist overtones, but we'll just keep focusing on this. Then, again, when it comes to rape and incest, those exceptions, if you were to say, abortion should be illegal except for that, you basically would be saying 98% of the abortions should be illegal. Or let's put it this way. To justify the rape and incest, they are basically saying the 98% of the other abortions should be justified in America. It's really sad that this has happened. Now let's talk a little bit about the reaction of Hollywood. For example, Disney, which, historically and even to this day positions itself as, this is a great outlet for the kids. They're like, oh, you bring more of those kids into the world, and they're, not aborted or whatever, we're going to oppose this. I mean, that's kind of surprising. It shows their true colors.
Well, in one sense, I think that's the general mindset that comes upon a culture that rejects God. We reject our posterity. So whereas, our culture in terms of its business culture right now says that, supporting abortion on demand without restriction is something that's a good thing and to which we have to respond. So why are you going to kill any future customer base?
Yeah.
If you're going to want to continue as a concern past this generation.
That's a good point. In fact, think about that with the teachers union. First of all, what in the world does a teachers union want to weigh in on the issue of abortion? But they do, of course, and they're for it. They're pro-abortion. But in effect, they're
all in and of itself, sir.
Yeah. Pardon me?
That's a show in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. But my point is that, think about all those schools that they've had to close down and so forth. They're losing their customer base, just like you said. Okay, so any other comment about Hollywood? I mean, do you see, as a person living in Georgia, do you see productions going on all the time? Is that kind of like a mini Hollywood or something?
Oh, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, location plus economic incentives that the state of Georgia continues to offer the movie-making and media communities make this a very attractive state to actually continue their production work. So I am hopeful that will continue regardless of the bluff and bluster of certain executives with regard to the issue of abortion on demand here in Georgia.
By the way, just thinking of conservative versus liberal politics and so forth, Hollywood embraces big government at every turn and so forth, and yet here when they themselves receive tax breaks from this state of Georgia to make their movies there, they can do it cheaper, they can save money, they can meet their bottom line. Forget Hollywood, let's go to Hollywood too, Georgia. So there's just, the hypocrisy is amazing.
Yes, well, again, a forward-looking view of how we're going to, as it were, advance righteousness in our culture would be to use that economic advantage that we are providing.
Yeah.
Like, well, hey, Netflix, if you all want to continue to produce your movies in such a way that you can make a profit, then essentially y'all can come on in, just don't make a whole lot of rattling when you come here. don't rock the boat when you come here. If you want to go out and tell people how great abortion on demand is, you can go do that when you go back to California.
You know, what's interesting, too, by the way, Ricardo, I would imagine that just as far as Christianity is concerned and salvation, there may be some people from Hollywood who end up getting saved because they worked in Georgia and they rubbed shoulders with genuine Christians that, you know, shared Jesus with them. You know, seriously.
Well, you know, Lord has a remnant there in Southern California as well. So he's going to work through all. But see, again, are we willing to take advantage of every opportunity God gives us to impact positively with the gospel our culture?
Mm-hmm. All right,
we must do that.
Yeah, okay.
And one way we do it in the area of politics is we have to be consistent with regard to how we actually protect innocent people. You mentioned earlier with the Roe versus Wade case, the turning point in the Supreme Court's discussion of the matter was that, you know, when the state of Texas asserted that it had the right to protect the preborn child because they were a person, well, then I think it was Justice Stevens pointed out that, well, if that is the case, then why does Texas allow for rape and incest abortions? There's a conflicting, because if the child, preborn child is a person, the child's done nothing wrong, then how does the state then allow abortions under those cases? So, you know, there have been a lot of people here in Georgia that have asserted that this is going to be the case that takes down Roe versus Wade without realizing that if they had just read and looked into the matter with regard to that original case, this bill, or now currently law in Georgia, that's being caught
challenged
up in the court,
yeah,
has the same fundamental flaw that Roe versus Wade has.
Wow.
In other words, it opens the door for the state to execute children who were conceived from rape or incest.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. The original way that this heartbeat bill was written, the original version was good and you supported it. Now you don't support this watered-down version, which could be like a, you know, even if it does pass constitutional muster, it's mm-hmm. it's meaningless in terms of stopping abortion on demand in America. So that's kind of sad to see, because then a lot of, you know, pro-life energy and funding and, you know, resources or whatever could be spent fighting for something that at the end of the day is meaningless.
Well, yes, and fortunately, people are beginning to, what I call the average pro-life supporter out there, is beginning to realize what's happening here, is that we have the political shell game going on.
Wow. By the way, we have about 1 minute left in this recording. Go on.
Okay. So what we are doing is we are pressing on as an organization. We are supporting leaders who will fight for principled pro-life legislation that squares with the law of God. We are fighting to advance a culture of life in our communities across Georgia. You may have heard recently in the news about sanctuaries for the Second Amendment. Well, we call them sanctuaries for life. Along with the National Organization Persons Alliance, we are actually advancing where we are having local and county governments say, not only are we not going to allow abortion in our community, but we are doing things to positively advance, working with stakeholders, leaders in the community, churches, nonprofits, to advance a culture of life. That is what Georgia Right to Life is about. And by God's grace, we will go for the win.
Amen. All right, Ricardo Davis, president of the Georgia Right to Life. Thanks for being with us. GRTL.org. Thank you, sir. God bless.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.